Nevertheless, our lesson for the morning, we're back in the Law of Moses, part one, as we go through the book of Deuteronomy. And the text is Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 1 through 3, and then 9 and 10, which read as follows. Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, Keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. Then Moses and the priest, the Levite, spoke to all Israel, saying, Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore, you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. Computer on? What? Yeah. That's what I just stopped and did, was turn the recording on. Okay. Thank you, though. My wife is giving me the signal, so I'll make sure I don't mess up and have to come back after church and do it again so it's recorded. I really appreciate that. She's trying to be helpful now that I'm her only companion. The dog is in the hospital, so now she wants to be my friend. So, okay, I go along with it. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But before we begin our next lesson in our walk through the Bible, let's look at our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, in our last lesson, I made the point that the Ten Commandments were the wedding vows between God and his betrothed bride, the nation of Israel. The ceremony at Mount Sinai in which the commandments were given was the wedding. The groom, God, descended to the mountain and literally spoke the words of the commandments in the hearing of the nation of Israel. Now, generally, God speaks to man through prophets. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 tells us, Then God said, Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. But however, in the case of God's wedding with the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai, God allowed his bride, the entire nation of Israel, to hear him speak the vows, which were the Ten Commandments. And after God spoke to the nation of Israel with an audible voice, his bride, the nation of Israel, responded that she agreed to the marriage. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 23 to 27 records, So it was, when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, Surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. So God then wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone with his finger so that his bride, Israel, would be able to pass documentary evidence of the wedding to her children, much like marriage licenses that the couples have in our day. Moses records in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, "At that time the Lord said to me, 'Hew for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark.' So I made an ark of acacia wood, hewed two tablets of stone like the first, and went up the mountain having the two tablets in my hand. And God wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord had spoken to you in the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made, and there they are, just as the Lord commanded me." Now, in our text for today, the Bible records that God is making the Israelites his people and is giving them the promised land as a dwelling place, just as a man might take a woman to be his wife and obtain a house in which the two of them will live together. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 3 and verse 9 says, "You shall write on the tablets all the words of this law when you have crossed over the Jordan River, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you." Then Moses, the priest, and the Levite spoke to all Israel, saying, "Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God." Now, God, knowing that he has a young and undisciplined wife, made his expectations clear to her. God decided to micromanage his relationship with his bride by giving Israel a compilation of those things that would please him. In the commandments, God makes it clear that the longevity of the marriage between God and Israel would depend upon his bride showing her love for him by keeping his commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20 through 25 tells us, "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves of the Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us." Now, in the Ten Commandments, recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6 through 21, God prohibits idolatry in any of its forms, swearing false oaths in God's name, profaning the Sabbath day, dishonoring one's parents, murdering, committing adultery, stealing, testifying lies against one's neighbor, and coveting one's neighbor's possessions. And the remainder of the book of Deuteronomy is a recap of the finer points of what is known as the Law of Moses, so called because the law was spoken by God to Moses, and Moses was charged by God to make the law known to the people of Israel. Now, the expectation of the Israelites was that they would be able to obey the moral tenets of the Mosaic law by the power of the flesh, meaning by the power of their will and by their own personal discipline. To facilitate the Israelites' ability to remember their obligations to God to live by the law, God included ceremonial provisions in the Mosaic law to remind the Israelites of their history, their captivity in Egypt, their exodus from Egypt, the wilderness wandering, and their victory over the people of the promised land. The weekly celebration was the Sabbath, upon which no work was to be done, and was a commemoration of the 6 days in which the world was created and God himself resting from his creative labor on the seventh day. So every week the Israelites were reminded by their celebration of the Sabbath that God is their benefactor. The annual feast of the Passover was celebrated to remind the Israelites that the reason for their release from slavery in Egypt was because of the power of God that wreaked havoc on Egypt, forcing the Pharaoh to let them go. These and the other ceremonial prescriptions of the law of Moses were designed to keep the Israelites in remembrance of their wedding vows to God. However, the flesh is weakened by the seductive nature of sin, coupled with the weakness of the will of the Israelites, and that caused them to be unable to abide by either the moral or ceremonial tenets of the Mosaic law by their own efforts. Now, we're going to review some of the moral tenets of the law during our perusal of the book of Deuteronomy, as the moral law still applies to us Christians today, as though the ceremonial law does not. And we'll start by reviewing one of the many times God warns Israel not to stray from him when they become prosperous. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 through 14 and 17 through 20 record, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes when I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." Now, it is Satan's fondest wish that we forget that it is God that gives us power to obtain the things that we have. When we begin to look at the things that the Lord has facilitated that we accumulate as our possessions, obtained by our efforts, and as things to which we are entitled because we earn them, we are falling into the trap of the devil that will eventually cause us to forget God. In our prosperous society in the United States of America, there are many who wish to lead who also want to eradicate the consciousness of God from the public square. And if we allow them to do so on constitutional grounds, we stand in danger of violating the moral law of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 through 20. We need to maintain our focus on that which God tells Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. "Do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people." Our nation does not enjoy a dominant position in the world because of our goodness or because of our righteousness. If we look back over the history of the United States of America, we can see that there was much intentional sin and injustice performed by our government during the development of our nation. And when we as a nation or as an individual are victorious over our circumstances, we should always acknowledge that God is not blessing us necessarily because of our righteousness, but because he has chosen us as the lesser of two evils. I think of the story of the apostles who were unfaithful when Jesus was with them and who failed to support him, fleeing and denying him in the very shadow of the cross. Peter, the great leader of the church, denied Jesus three times during Jesus' hour of agony. The other apostles forsook Jesus and fled the scene. And the apostle Paul persecuted the church after Jesus rose because of his unbelief and was only converted when Jesus intervened supernaturally in his life on the Damascus Road. Paul speaks for all of them and for all of us when he writes in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The Church of Jesus Christ has no call to look down on the nation of Israel, and we should always remember the admonition of God to not be filled with pride because of our accomplishments, but to always recognize our personal unworthiness to receive the things that God has so graciously granted us. At the same time, we should not be so intimidated by our lack of personal righteousness that we fail to declare the righteousness of God at all times and in all places. God enjoins Israel against forsaking him by entertaining the worship of other gods. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, the Bible says, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, 'Let us go and serve other gods which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth,' you shall not consent to him, nor listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people." The nation of Israel is establishing a political kingdom. The New Testament church, however, is not establishing a political kingdom as was Israel. And we are in the business of facilitating salvation for those who will acknowledge the truth of Jesus Christ. So we are not called to kill those who oppose the church, but to withdraw from them. Jesus instructed the disciples when he sent them on a missionary journey in Luke chapter 10, verse 8 through 12 and verse 16. He said, "Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as I set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day, that is the day of judgment, for Sodom than for that city. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So the nation of God called the nation of Israel to establish herself by warfare and eradicate those who rejected him. But Jesus calls the church to establish herself by preaching and to withdraw from those who reject her. Now that God also speaks to the nation of Israel about how they treat one another. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1 through 11 records, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother, except when there may be no poor among you. For the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as he promised you, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. And if there is a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates of your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. And beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works, and in all to which you put your hand. For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your hand, in your land, rather. So God commands the Israelites to lend to the poor and forgive debts incurred by their fellow Israelites to keep them in remembrance that all the things that they have are actually gifts from God, and their distribution of that which God has given to them to their brothers and sisters in need pleases God. And Paul admonishes the church to help the poor as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 11. The Bible says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed which you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. And we have no need to fear that our generosity will not be compensated, as Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17 tells us, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. So now, although the Lord calls for us to be generous toward the poor, there is, on the other hand, the necessity for the poor person to do what he can to help himself. Our generosity is to be oriented toward those who cannot otherwise help themselves. The Americans with Disabilities Act did not exist in the Israel of biblical times, nor did motorized wheelchairs, nor the other mechanical implements that allow the disabled to work side by side with able-bodied folks in our current mechanized environment. In Bible days, labor was in fact labor for the most part, and an injured or disabled person had fewer and more limited options than are available now. However, everyone who is poor is not disabled, and the Lord commands those that have the physical ability to take care of themselves to do so. He says through the pen of the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 15, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Now, hunger is a great motivator for the idle. The Lord tells us to not allow those who decide to be idle, to not put in the effort to take care of themselves, to live off the labor of others. In order to please God, we must utilize the talents and skills that we have to take care of ourselves and our families. Young people, prepare for the future. Your turn to take care of yourself is coming. Parents, be sure to remind your children that their time to take care of themselves by honest labor will soon be here. I remember admonishing my son, starting when he was 8 years old, that his time to park his feet under my table was limited. He listened, and now he has his own table under which to park his feet. On the other hand, we ought not provoke our children to wrath, but it is necessary that we train them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, part of which is to avail themselves of the power to get wealth by honest labor that the Lord provides for them. Our church and our nation need strong young men and women to carry on the Christian tradition of making themselves available to receive the blessings of God. Let us create that mindset in our children, and that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for your law, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the application of it, even as you gave it to Moses. Although the ceremonies do not apply to us today, the moral parts of the law still apply to us and help us to learn and to glean wisdom from that which you are sharing with us in this book of Deuteronomy. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless all that are in the house today. Give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place and bring us back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us another good day, another good discussion, another good meeting of the minds. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help the question of the poor to be on the minds of those who have something to do with the governmental arrangements and all the rest of the arrangements, that there might be a more beneficial way to deal with that problem. We ask you, Lord, that you would help those who are in that situation to recognize the need that they have to increase their educational level. For those who might be in a situation where the educational facilities are not up to par, we ask you, Lord, that you would help the school administrations to deal with that issue this summer, help them to figure out how they can take care of those students that need an education so poorly and not trap them in poverty because of the situation that they're already in. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would help us as we contemplate that situation to find someone here for whom we can be a help, a light, and a beacon, that we might be able to lead someone back into a better situation. We thank you for all who participated in the discussion today and all that was said that might go for all of our edification. And now, Lord, praying for Dr. Allen and Brother Quarterman, we're asking you to bless them and that you bless Union and their endeavor today to amuse the public while they raise funds for their situation. We're praying for Sister Allen as well, and we're asking you to bless all those whom she has asked us to pray for, her sons and her daughters and her in-laws, for the Embrys, Katie and Douglas, who we're in prayer for their good health. And for Sister Robbie Harris, we ask you that you bless her as well as she's battling cancer. We ask you that you bless the store, that you would help them, help her over there, that they might have enough business, that they might be able to keep going. Allow them to be prosperous based upon your word, because we know that you have all the wealth in the world and that you distribute it as you will. Praying also for Sister Betty Pruitt, who's battling with cancer, and we're also asking you that you would continue to bless Miss Sabrina as she's working on her hand, as her hand is healing from that burn as well. Now, I thank you, Lord, for those whom my wife is concerned with, for Paul and for his business, and I'm asking you, Lord, that you would keep him on the straight and the narrow path, that he might be able to do those things that are necessary to make the business grow and prosper, and that you would help him, that he would have time to take care of his personal needs as well as his business needs, that you would give him leisure, that he might have time to wind down and that he'd have time to prepare for the next day's journey that's coming. And then we ask you, of course, Lord, to give him traveling mercies as he goes up and down the dangerous highway. Keep his car running and keep it running well, and allow him to have the necessary maintenance performed so that he will remain running well, that he can get to all these places. And then when he gets there, Lord, we ask you that you would give him a good technical solution that he might be able to benefit those whom he has gone to benefit. We're praying also for Rachel Deemer down in Florida, for Mother Z. We thank you for her recovery and that she's back out. She's out this week at the Vacation Bible School over at Union. We ask you that you would continue to give her the dexterity in her hands, that she might be able to continue that which she is doing to bless them over there. For Brother Rodriguez and Brother Tyson, for Mother Versa and Sister Johnny Mae Wills, we ask that you bless those ladies and give them the desires of their hearts as well. And we're praying for Rick, who's out in the field with the Army. And we ask you that you would keep him out of harm's way if that is your will, and if that is possible, that you would allow the situation over there to resolve itself. Let those of cooler minds over there prevail. We allow, ask you, Lord, that you let something happen to those who are stirring up trouble, that they might not be able to stir it up anymore. We just ask you that you would intercede in that situation as well. For Sister Nikki Owens as well, we ask you to bless her. Sister Sarah Roberts, bless her as well. We're asking you, Lord, that you would look in on Eric and Amanda as they try to deal with their relationship issues, and that you would give them guidance, that you'd give them direction, give them someone with wisdom with whom they can confer, that before they make any irrevocable decisions, that they will have them well thought through and be able to deal with their parents and in-laws and all those things as well. Pray for Brother Edwards and his family. We thank you that they've made it back to town, and we're also asking you that you bless Brother Morgan as he is still recovering from his knee surgery. For the Fullers over across the street, we ask you to continue to bless them, Lord, and let the store stay in business and continue to make money on that corner. For those whom Brother Lee is concerned about, and Sister Lee as well. For Erin Marsh, we ask you that you go with her and stand by her in her battle against cancer. Asking you that you help Brother Mike Pillow as well. Sister Janet Teddy and Sister Frieda Durham, we ask you just you would just bless them and give them the recovery that they need. Now we ask you that you let Darius have a good summer here at home. Allow him to enjoy those things that he's doing and prepare for his trip across the waters to the other side of the world for this fall for his education. We ask you, Lord, that you give him focus and the ability to learn those special things that can be learned only over there, as well as those things that are required on this side as well. And we also pray for his mother. And we ask you, the Lord, as she sits down to write the paper, that you would give her a clarity of thought, that you would give her a coherent presentation, and that you would make her paper factual and entertaining for those who have to read it, that they might be able to give her the maximum positive grade, and then give her that information in her mind that she might be able to go and take the test and do well on that as well. Now we pray for brother and sister McClure, ask you to bless them, and that you would keep JJ as he is here working on his rehabilitation, that you would give him the strength that he needs to go through that, give him dexterity in his limbs that he might be able to recover completely from his surgery and be restored to complete function. Also praying for Janelle as she's on her way home. And we ask you that you keep her safe and until she gets here, and then allow her to reunite with her family and have a great time here in town as they are preparing to get her back. We're also thanking you, Lord, that Brother Kraft has answered the surgeon's call and has come out of the situation well and is ready to return to work. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace in his situation. And just go with the McClures and stand by them as well. Praying for Sister Winston, we thank you that she was able to have an enjoyable, to some degree, enjoyable experience this week going back to work. We ask you that you would allow her recovery to continue and let her regain full function of her shoulder as well. We pray for her husband and for Sister Donna Powell and Sister Lynn Pointer, both of whom she's concerned about. And we ask that you bless in all these situations as well. Now I'm praying for Dad, praying for Marvin, praying for Sister Viola Frazier. We're just asking you, Lord, that you bless her in her condition. Brother McGill, we thank you that he's doing well. And Aunt Naomi, we thank you that things are going well for her as well. And we just ask you that you just go with those with whom we are concerned and help them as they are enjoying these last days of theirs, and just allow them to impart wisdom to some of us who are not quite as far along the path, that we might be able to avoid some of the pitfalls and learn from the sharing that they give us, Lord. We're praying for the younger fellows, for Brother Jay Northern and his family, his wife and his little kids, and Brother Dimitri Perkins and Coretta and those three little girls. And we're asking you that you bless in these young households, that the men there would be men and the women there would be women, and that they would raise their children in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they will not depart from it. We're asking you that you also bless Brother James Russell, who's still out in White Hills, and Brother David Sippert, who's still in Iraq, preaching the word to the troops. And we ask that you give him a good word to say, that he might give comfort to all that are there and give confidence to those who have to stand in harm's way. Praying for Brother Humphrey's daughter, who's carrying a baby, we ask you that you give her the strength to carry it to term and allow them to have the joy of a happy childbirth, that their family might be able to grow and prosper. Also still in prayer for Brother and Sister Webb as well. Now, Lord, we're thanking you for all that you have asked us about and all that we have prayed for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for those who are the victims of the hurricanes. We ask you that you continue to restore their situation. For our armed forces serving our country at home and abroad, we ask you that you keep them from harm's way, that your hedge of protection be around them and keep them safe from hurt, harm, and danger. Go with them and stand by them as they are safeguarding our freedoms. Also praying for the young men and women in this neighborhood And if there are any in our families that don't know you in the pardon of their sins, we're praying that you would allow us to be used to draw them, that they might come to a saving knowledge of you. Now, Lord, we thank you for the little place that you've given us here, and we're asking you that you would continue to let us stay open and to impart your word. Give us something to say that will bless the hearers. And we also ask you, Lord, that you would allow, we thank you, rather, for all these things that you've given us, that we might be able to make your word plain. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And I thank you for my wife, who is the love of my life. And I ask you, Lord, that you go with her and stand by her this week and help us as we have to deal with the situation with our pets, Lord. And we ask you that you let all come out well from that situation and allow him to return back home, that he might be able to keep my wife company. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Jesus Christ gave us his wisdom, his will, and his word. And he has given us that we might remember. We might be able to bring all things that he has taught us to our remembrance as we go to and fro and look at the things of life. We just want to remember him, that which he has instructed us, that as we have to make decisions about those things that we do, that we will emulate his example and follow his leadership. So let us remember him even to his sacrifice on the cross that he gave, that we might have a right and a just right to the tree of life. Let us remember all that he has done for us, and let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. And may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest on the Bible is now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.